Chris, you've done a bit of a pick swap. Can you take us through that one?
We have, yeah. We're really keen to get another pick in this year's first round. Obviously giving up next year's first round draft pick to do it, but want to have another pick this year. Next year's a more compromised draft from the number of players who are tied to either father-sons or NGA. So we thought that we go in the path of having an extra pick this year. Really, really exciting for the club, I think, from our perspective, to potentially be able to bring in three first round picks, and depending on where the bids fall, Jackson Mead also, would be a really good outcome for the club.
Is there any thought of packaging up any of those first round picks and try to move up higher in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, we'll leave that open. Obviously, we've got the potential to still do pick swaps, from now until I think it's Friday, and then obviously on the night as well. So, we'll look at what's best for the club in the meantime, but that's certainly an option. Yeah.
Did you knock on Brisbane's door, or how does that?
I think there was just discussion ongoing. We had certainly made it known that our want was to have another early pick in the draft, and so Brisbane were the club who were most keen to obviously get something done.
The impact that the boys made your first round of your early picks this season, giving you confidence to go again.
It certainly does, Reece. I mean, from our perspective, to have Rosie, Butters, Dersma do what they did last year. Around about the same picks, obviously outside of Connor, gives us a little bit of confidence to say, all right, well, we think that one or two of those guys should be able to compete for selection at AFL level straight away. And you all saw the energy and enthusiasm that those guys bring to your club. So keen to get at it, certainly.
Nick and everything, but are you pleased? Is there anyone
who's
caught your eye?
Oh, no, look, I mean, it was fantastic to see Robbie Gray out, doing some running, this time last year. If you remember, he was coming off of, surgery and really having to manage his body significantly. So, to see Rob out there and running and for him to tell me after the session that he felt really good was a great thing for us, and certainly for him, because he's, pre-season hasn't been kind to him over the last couple of years. And Jack Watts has obviously done some great things. Zach Butter leading the running. If you've seen so far, he's been outstanding. Ryan Burton coming back looking outstanding as well. Really top notch. So, those guys have come back in a professional manner. But as I say, seeing Rob and Jack and those guys get back is a great thing.
What about Sammy Hayes? He's another one. What are the expectations you'd have on him for next season?
Well, I think I've well known that I've got some high hopes for Sam. I think, we were rapt at the time that he slipped to pick 46 or whatever it was a couple of years ago, and I think he's got a real future in the game. Yeah, but clearly, after having a knee recon in his first year, had some rehabilitation to do. But to see him back out now, running. Finish the year strongly, and I would expect he and Pete Laddams to be pushing Scott Lysett all the way for the ruck position.
When do you expect Jack Watts to be playing again next season?
Well, we're hopeful that it's round one. Right now, he's doing a fair bit of running away from the group, but progressing into change of direction type stuff, which is probably where the danger lies now with Jack. He's coping with all of the stuff that he's going through right now. So, right now I'd say there's no reason why we shouldn't be expecting Jack to be available for the pre-season games.
Charlie Dixon's looking pretty good at the moment. Is he coming off a bit of a disrupted season?
Well, Charlie's another one, isn't he, that you look at and think this time last year he was still really battling with the injury that he sustained at the end of the year before. So, he looks to have slimmed down a little bit, and certainly, we'll, if he's up and running, we'll add something that we didn't probably have consistently last year. So to think that Charlie played, 9 or 10 games, if we can get him back to 2017 type, 2018 form, you'd think that we're going to be in a far better spot than what we were last year.
Did he go away and do a bit of work in the off-season in the US?
Right? Yeah, he did. Yeah, so he went over. Travis obviously does a fair bit of work over there, and Travis does a fair bit of work over there, and so Charlie and a couple of other our guys decided to do some work with him, which was great to see.
Chris, have you got a process in mind about your captaincy and how you're going to go about that over the pre-season, and how much will be a football decision and how much will be a club decision?
I think this will be a club decision. There's no doubt about that. It always is. It always goes for rubber stamping, through a process. So, right now nothing's changed from when I spoke 3 or 4 weeks ago around the fact that we'll get the guys back, we'll get them back into training, and then we'll look at what's best for the club, into the future from a captaincy perspective.
You canvass the players again, do you think?
Yeah, we'll work through with the guys. I've no doubt that, and some of them expressed their view as to how things worked last year. So, but as we do every year, you sit down and you think about what's best for the group and also what's best for the club, and that's going to be something that's obviously spoken about a fair bit, but it'll be in the forefront of all of our minds.
Is your feeling that it did work or it didn't work?
Oh, I think the guys have said pretty much that from a playing perspective they saw it working really well, but we come back to this time every year and saying, well, whatever is in the best interest of the club that we'll do. So that's a position that we're in again now, and as I say, we'll get the guys back over the next few weeks. We'll get them back into training, and then we'll look at what the next steps are for the captaincy.
From what we saw, Hammer and I think Xavier just doing laps today, just modified programs.
Yeah. So Hammer obviously has had his knee operated on at the end of last year, and Xavier just reported some minor soreness. So this time of year, you don't want to push the guys too much, so I think Dan Houston was in that group as well, so nothing to worry about, but those guys just away from the group for the next couple of days probably.
Who are the small forwards you see having a Sammy Gray spot, Chris? Who do you see trying to take
that? Yeah, well, I mean, Kane Farrell, Tobin Cox certainly are two guys, Boyd Woodcock, assuming that we are able to reselect him on our rookie list. I'm sure that there'll be someone looked at from a draft perspective. We've got a group of guys who need to be given opportunities at that small forward position, who we think can take us into the future. It was part of the reason why we made the decision we did during the delisting process. But I've got high hopes for those guys that once given opportunity that they'll be able to grab it and take us forward.
Is that, an area of the ground, in the first round you might look at?
Yeah, I mean, look, generally speaking at the draft, you're just ruling lines through the players who have been taken. We'll go through what our list is over the next week. I know Jason Cripps, our list manager, is here on Wednesday, and we'll probably look to put our list together then. And then we'll just have to see how the draft unfolds. I mean, the good part about having an extra first-round pick is, we get to control that part of the draft a little bit more if we can get an understanding as to who wants who around us. So it's really exciting to be able to go into another draft with three high quality picks.
I suppose the thinking around the deal is that around Jackson Mead and about how you can sort of structure your picks by getting Jackson as a father son.
Yeah, I mean, fair to say that pick 29 was probably around the mark as to what most people would suggest that that Jackson might be taken. So we have wanted to position ourselves in the draft this year to get as many good quality players on our list as we can. And, Jackson's obviously tied to us, so we get the last right of refusal, I guess. So now having three picks early in the draft certainly make it more likely that that Jackson is a bit after 18. But, that remains to be seen how that plays out on draft night. We'll obviously play out, and we'll have to make whatever assessments we need to. But, now if Jackson's a bit after pick 18, then it probably becomes an easier decision for us.
In terms of long-term strategy now, are you giving up that first-round pick next year? Is this an indication that you'll have your younger players to come in, and next year will be more like, okay, if we need a top-up player, an older player, a mature player, that's the sort of deals we'll be looking to do?
Yeah, potentially. Obviously, without a first round in the following year, you've got to look at the way that either you can get back into the first round, if that's a priority for you, or we go down the path of what we did a few years ago with free agency. So they're all the options open to the club. I think right now most people in the AFL would suggest that next year's draft is going to be the most compromised in history. So it's something that we're going to have to be mindful of. As I say, getting pick 16 for us this year is a really exciting outcome, and one that we're wrapped to be entering this year's draft with that potential to get some good young talent onto our list again.
Oh, Sydney, did Travis Boat train today?
No, I didn't. So Travis got a couple of extra days away from the club just to finalise what he's doing over in America and get back from there. So getting old now. Good on you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.